This is where the region comes to talk. It's news and views
on the mighty 790 KMGO Fargo Moorhead.
Getting it said for your town.
KNDK 1080 Langdon. Supertalk 1270 Bismarck Mandan. Keys 660 Williston.
The legendary tradition of talk in the upper Midwest. It's talk that matters. Here's Joel Heitkamp.
Today is the day that, in my opinion, is defined by courage, the courage of a mother. Who wants to tell her side and her family's side of a story that is so incredibly tragic. Tammy Sadek is in studio with me. She is the mother of NDSCS student Andrew Sadek, who is lost to us all now. Andrew was found in the river after a number of months. There was a search that was orchestrated through the North Dakota State College of Science, calling any and all in to help. They coordinated with all different law enforcement agencies to try to find Andrew. It was on the front page of every paper. It was the lead on every news story. The longer it went on, the more fearful many of us got of the how this might end. In that meantime, I had a number of conversations with Tammy Sadek, and we kept talking about, okay, how is this going? And through all of that, you build a relationship. You get to know somebody and you understand what's in their mindset. And the one thing that Tammy made perfectly clear to me throughout all of this was once the autopsy was done, once she knew what that was, then she wanted to come into News and Views and speak to a statewide radio audience about that. She's here today. She's here today to do just that. Tammy, welcome to News and Views. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Good morning.
I have to tell you this. On behalf of all the News and Views listeners, the first thing they're going to want me to tell you is they are so sorry for your loss.
I appreciate all that. We have had cards from all over the state with people expressing their condolences and their sympathies. It's just been phenomenal.
Tammy, I think the best way to begin this is to allow you to say whatever you want to say. Do you have an opening statement or do you have something you want to say?
I just want to say that we're upset with the whole situation, the way it was conducted. The campus police did everything in their power, but they didn't have enough power. SEMCA should have stepped in from the minute he was listed as missing and taken charge of the whole case, knowing what they did to him for 13 months working with him. And we didn't know that. And the campus police didn't know that. So they should have taken charge immediately instead of just letting the campus police be thrown under the bus, so to speak. And they would have known where to look for Andrew, knowing what they were dealing with. And it's just stupid. So somebody needs to check into SEMCA's practices is what I want to say. They bullied him from the get-go, and they're bullying kids today. It just has to stop.
Let's give people some background on SEMCA. What you have is a Southeast Multi-County Drug Task Force is really what this is. It's set up with a number of different agencies, whether it be the sheriffs from these counties, whether it be the drug task force, basically what you have is a collective group of law enforcement. And what we now know, and what you and your husband never did know until this came through light through Andrew's missing, I'm assuming you didn't know that Andrew was investigation for sale of marijuana.
Not. Absolutely not.
So you didn't know that, and you've said that before on News and Views.
Yes,
we had you on. And in this process, Andrew sold some marijuana, and they got him for that.
Absolutely.
And he then was given an opportunity by SEMCA and said, okay, we want the higher ups. We want the people, whoever you're getting pot from. Is that correct?
Supposedly, yes. That's what they told us.
Have they ever talked to you yet? Has Drug Enforcement Task Force ever talked to you yet?
Jason Weber did speak to us during the search, and then he told us, we were under the assumption that it happened this April when he spoke with us. We had no idea about that it was the previous 13 months ago, April, and we had no idea about this November search of his room.
So I want to make sure the audience understands this. So your son just turns 19. He gets caught selling $80 worth of pot. That's
on,
what
on two occasions,
right?
Yeah. And, combined,
and,
yes.
And mm-hmm. combined,
yes.
It all added up to $80 worth of pot.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then they start putting the, you know, you're gonna. They set the buy up so that it's by a school,
exactly,
which now includes a felony charge.
Exactly.
Is that correct?
That's correct. A school of adults, mind you.
Okay, so by making it by a school, you're now qualified for a felony charge, which then allows them to put more pressure on Andrew, in your belief.
Exactly. Well, he actually told us that he was going to charge him with 20 years per offense, up to 20 years in prison. Now, that would scare the hell out of anyone.
Well, I think
19.
It would. Yeah. Okay, so now Andrew's living under that. And
he can't tell anyone.
Right. But by rule, he can't come back and tell you.
Exactly.
Had he told you, what would have you done?
We would have said, you're going to face these charges and we're going to get this all cleaned up.
We're going to go get a lawyer.
You're not going to work for them. That's their job. You're not going to do their job of getting other people.
Okay. Did you have any indication whatsoever that Andrew was using marijuana or selling marijuana?
No, we did not. But, you know, when I was 20 and in college, my parents didn't know half of what I did. And I liked it that way. So
it doesn't surprise you that Andrew didn't come home and say, oh, by the way, me and my buddies were out and we got high tonight and
absolutely
had a couple of beers.
Absolutely not. That didn't surprise me at all.
And I will tell you that if I had asked my 20-year-old that and they would have looked at me and said, Dad, keep your nose out of my business.
Exactly.
So they probably wouldn't have told me, right?
Right, right.
Okay, so now we're to the point where Simca is using him as a tool for law enforcement, using him as a tool to get the person that he supposedly had bought this marijuana from. You found that out.
We did, yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, and all of this you found out after Andrew went missing.
Absolutely, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now Andrew goes missing. Then did they come to you and explain to you the process of how this worked and how they went about it?
No, they did not. Uh-uh.
And for many of you listening, you're saying, well, Joel, he's 18, 19 years old. At the time he went missing, he was 20 because over a year had passed
exactly.
now, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, he'd been living with this for over a year. So then by then, people are saying, well, he's an adult. They don't have to tell you as a mother. What's your answer to that?
Right. He's an adult, so and it's not illegal to go missing. But, I mean, he lived on campus. He came home in the summer. He worked in the summer. He lived at home. He went back to school, and nothing was said. And Andrew had signed a FERPA, which is supposed to give us the right to know everything when they're on campus.
In your discussions with President Richmond and the campus of the North Dakota State College of Science, is it your understanding that the State College of Science knew that Andrew was under investigation?
No, they did not know. They did not know. SEMCA has free reign to come and go as they please on that campus. And I'm sure it happens in other campuses as well. But, yeah, they had no idea. They didn't know about the search in November. They didn't know that Andrew was being used, I guess, or bullied, basically.
So here's my point in asking that question. Let's make an assumption that the image that they have of Andrew is separate from your image. You know, you and I have an image of Andrew of being, hey, he's a kid that sold a little bit of pot and, you know, and was in the wrong place at the wrong time and was getting used.
Right.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
let's have, you got that scenario. Then you might have the scenario of Simca saying, no, this is a drug dealer. This is a guy with ties to higher up. If that is the case, why would they allow him on a campus around all of the other people and not allow the campus itself to know?
Yeah, good question. Excellent question. And in one of our meetings with the campus police, Officer Whitney stated to us that they knew that a person that wasn't in school was coming to the campus, spending nights at the school, and bringing the drugs from Alexandria.
Okay.
And so if they knew that, why didn't they arrest them?
Okay, so when we come back, we have to go through this process of the autopsy, what we found out. But I want to let the listeners know this before we go to a break. upon receipt of the autopsy, you found out that there was nothing in Andrew's system.
Absolutely.
No alcohol, no drugs, right?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
Stick around. We're going to talk about that. Welcome back to News and Views. Tammy Sadek is our guest. She's the mother of Andrew Sadek, the young man that had gone missing and was looked for extensive amount of time and was found in the Red River. Tammy, I'm going to just ask it straight up. In your mind, was this a suicide or was this a murder?
This was a murder in our minds. My husband and I both feel that.
And what evidence makes you believe that?
There is no evidence of a suicide. He had excellent grades. He had plans for the weekend. He had no reason to commit suicide. And he was shot in the head. His backpack was weighted down and he was thrown in the river.
Okay, so that's where your husband and you are.
Absolutely, yep.
And do you feel it's being investigated properly as a murder?
No, it's not. No, I don't think so at all. I have no indication of that. They're looking for the weapon. Well, what is that going to tell them? You know, I mean, if anybody commits suicide, have you ever heard of anybody committing suicide where they don't want to be found? You know, a simple shot in the head would have done it. Why would he need to be weighted down?
So that hasn't really been out there in the public yet, but his backpack did have and was weighted down with rocks.
It was, yes.
And was it tied to him, aside from what you strap over your shoulder?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So, yep.
And we were sworn to secrecy on that whole situation. We knew that right after the funeral, we were told that. And so we were waiting for the toxicology reports before we went with anything. And We couldn't tell a soul and none of our family or nothing. But then we heard all these rumors from the bars down in Wahpeton and McLeod and everything. And it's very disturbing to hear that when we're sworn to secrecy and who's telling it, you know, and it's factual. So
And word had gotten out that in one of our conversations, I explained to you that I had heard that rumor out there. And I had asked you if that was true, and I know that was quite upsetting to you because you said, I've heard that rumor going around too, and she said, Joel, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. We've been told that, but we were the ones told to be quiet about it.
Exactly. We were.
Okay. I want to ask you about the weapon, because he was shot with a .22 caliber, and that was found in Andrew's skull. Is your family missing a .22?
We are. We have a ton of guns. We live on a farm. Andrew has his own guns. We don't have a vehicle that doesn't have a gun in it. We have coyotes and predators, and Andrew is an avid hunter and fisherman. He has a trophy buck on his wall in his room.
Does the fact that might have been the weapon that caused Andrew's death change your impression that he might have taken his own life?
No. He wouldn't be the first person. He's not going to be the last person that was ever killed with their own gun. You know, it happens all the time.
So, okay. And I just want to be clear on that because right now they are still searching for that gun in the river.
They are, yes.
And they haven't found it yet?
No.
Okay. And what has their response been to you about that? Has anyone involved in the investigation of this told you that, you know, I've heard all the officials come forward and say this is still an open investigation, but after the autopsy results, after finding him in the river, no one has come out and said, look, we see this as a suicide or B, murder. Has anyone come to you and said to you how they as law enforcement are looking at this?
No, they have not. The death certificate says undetermined, and I believe that the coroner is, he would have put suicide down if he thought it was a suicide. And there's no going back from that. And they can't tell how close the gun was to his head when it was pulled, the trigger was pulled. I just don't believe it was a suicide.
Okay. So moving forward on that, when you and your husband have to deal with this, and I think this needs to be pointed out because everybody's putting themselves in your position right now. You lost a son before Andrew.
We did, yes.
And
in an auto accident.
And what effect do you think that had on Andrew?
Well, it was 9 years ago, and it did have a an impact. I mean, he lost his brother, his big brother, but he had his whole future ahead of him. His grades were great. I don't think it impacted Andrew enough that where Andrew would take his own life over it.
And that's what I was going to have to ask you. So yeah. I see you anticipated that, but I knew in some of our earlier conversations how and I mentioned how hard it could be to lose somebody that important in your life. You lose your big brother in a car train accident and how hard that could make it, and whether or not that would have drove him to take his own life.
Oh, I don't believe so. He had a strong relationship with both of us. I mean, our last words to each other always were, "I love you." He had a future ahead of him. I mean, he had electrical jobs. People were calling him all the time. He had a plan.
Have you, since all of this went about, have they at the people investigating this or the people that at SMCA come clean with you in terms of what? Where the emails were, where the correspondence were, what their conversation was, what they were telling him, what they were asking him to do. In other words, now that Andrew no longer can be their tool to be used in this way, have they come out and said, you know, listen, this is what we were working at, this is what we were doing, and this is what Andrew had agreed to do, and this here's correspondence between us electronically, by text, by cell phone. Have they showed you what their life was or what they turned Andrew's life into?
Absolutely not. Mm-mm. Nope. Not a thing. Nope. They've referred everything to the campus police. They met with us the day that we were down there for the initial news conference when he was first went missing. And that's the last contact we've had with them.
Okay. I want to know when we come back, Tammy, what your family wants to do proactive to get answers to all of this. So, Tammy Sadek, when we come back right here on News and Views. Looks like Tammy Sadek, the mother of Andrew Sadek, the student whose life is lost to us from the North Dakota State College of Science, is our guest. They received the autopsy results. Nothing found in Andrew's system other than a bullet in his head. It's Tammy's belief that Andrew was murdered. That he was weighted down, thrown into the river, and whether it be the gun that Andrew possessed that shot him or not, she believes that he wouldn't be the first one who ever had a gun that he had taken from him and then shot with it. Is that fair to say, Tammy,
exactly.
Highlighting the
yep.
first half hour of what we talked yep. about? I posted this on Facebook, and I want to get these out to you because I think it's important that you hear them.
Okay.
I said, you know, I mentioned that you were coming on the show today, and I said, what message or question would you like to give Tammy? And they said, some said it's never goodbye. It's see you later. Another said that so many of us have lived with her in this nightmare, always hoping for the best, and that our thoughts and prayers are with her and her family. She is not alone. Another said continued prayers and hugs to get through these difficult times. Questions are inappropriate at times like this. The family needs all the love and support that they can get. Another, and I think that this is one that that jumped out at me that I wanted to make sure you heard, Tammy. It's not your fault. I think this person wanted that read to you on air. You know, there must have been times during this when you struggled with that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, what could we have done more? And we are very confident in the fact that we wouldn't have raised a different son. We're very proud of Andrew. We were very proud of him, and we still are.
Another individual says, Joel, my sister tried telling you that SMCA was setting up young people in Richland County, the same thing that Tammy is telling you now. Please get the truth out. I want to go back to that. I want to go back to your comments about SMCA, because I don't know. You know, we raised the question of whether or not this is going to be a murder investigation, whether they're going to make a determination that this was deemed a suicide. Obviously, you and your husband firmly believe that this was a murder and an investigation needs to follow.
Absolutely.
If you're this disappointed in SMCA, the Southeast Multi-Drug Task Force, use whatever acronym you want. But
exactly.
You know, this. Do the Google. You can find out who SMCA is. What do you want to happen with them? How do you want to deal with this overriding issue of people involved with SMCA to make sure that your concerns are addressed here?
Well, I think that whoever governs SEMCA, I'm assuming it's Mr. Stenjum, the Attorney General, needs to look into this and see how they practice down there and just stop the bullying of the kids. These SEMCA is trained, paid professionals, and they're having kids do their job, which is ridiculous. We have talked to several other students that were in the same situation that suddenly when Andrew went missing, they were all called in and their charges would be wiped clean if they could just tell them where Andrew was. How ridiculous is that? It's just they're bullying these kids, and this is the highest degree of bullying that's possible. I mean, we talk about kids being bullied in school by teachers and stuff. Now we have a government agency bullying kids, and it's gone on for years, and it needs to stop.
I want to make sure I understand this. Wayne Stenjum is the chief law enforcement officer for the state of North Dakota as the attorney general.
So I've come to find out.
Are you calling for Attorney General Stenjum to have a full investigation of SEMCA?
Absolutely. I would love that. And he could start tomorrow, as far as I'm concerned, if he hasn't already. And we want to know what the kind of pressure they're putting these kids under. You know, it's ridiculous. Their practices are atrocious. This November thing that happened, the search warrant was illegally done in the first place. And then while Andrew's missing, we get a court notice to appear on these charges. And the very next day from...
Wait a second. I want to understand that. While Andrew's missing, you get a court notice to appear on the charges?
On the charges of drug paraphernalia charges from the search of their room.
So you're saying while he was missing, they then chose to bring those charges forward against Andrew?
Absolutely, yes. Yes, we got a letter in the mail from Richland County Courthouse addressed to Andrew, and of course I opened it, you know.
He's missing,
yeah. You know what? And it didn't say return in 5 days or anything, you know. So I opened it, and it was a notice to appear on these drug paraphernalia charges. The very next day, Andrew gets a postcard from an attorney in Wahpeton wanting to represent him. What kind of a little cartel do they have going on down there? You know, it's ridiculous.
I guess I can fully understand. I always wondered whether or not the lead agency should have been the North Dakota State College of Science, and whether or not, you know, through no fault of their own, this was put upon them because they've got a student missing.
Absolutely.
And John Richmond came on with us right here on News and Views, and he said, look, I don't care about any of this other.
Exactly.
I don't care about the drug charges.
Right.
We'll talk to all of that another day.
Right.
Right now, I've got a student that was entrusted into my care as the president of the North Dakota State College of Science, and I've got a family who's missing their son. And my main focus and the main focus of our law enforcement on campus, who are trained just like any other law enforcement, but the main focus of them is to find Andrew Sadek. That's what we're going to spend our energy on.
Oh, and that was reiterated several times with Sergeant Helgrenson, and he said, yeah, we just got to get Andrew back here. We'll deal with the rest of that stuff later. We just have to find Andrew.
So in the middle of all of that, you get a notice from the courthouse that they decided then to go forward with bringing the charges forward.
The drug paraphernalia charges, yeah.
But do you see what I'm getting at here?
Yeah, it's just...
You went over a year without even knowing that they had issued a warrant.
Exactly.
Because they didn't make that public because they're using it as an informant.
Right.
And then when he's missing, they decide now is the time to do this.
Exactly.
What explanation in the world did they give you for that when you talked to him?
I didn't talk to him at all. I just gave it to the lawyer. The lawyer we had on staff, and he just threw it off to the side and said, well, when we find him, we'll deal with it.
Tammy, how's your husband dealing with this?
John, we're very private people. He doesn't like the limelight, and he just wants justice for Andrew. It's just ridiculous.
So you're lockstep in what you're saying today, though?
Excuse me?
You're comfortable that what you're saying is you're saying on behalf of your family. John agrees with you in what you're saying.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay, then let me ask you this. Is there any recourse that you can take through the courts? Are you looking at civil action?
We are not at this time. No.
So this isn't a matter of money or suing or anything like that.
No.
You just want answers from the Attorney General's office on the actions of SMCA.
Absolutely. It will help with our closure. And, it, you know, there's no bringing Andrew back.
Okay.
So there's no amount of money that could possibly do that. I just don't want any other family to deal with this in our situation.
Tammy, I'm going to ask something of you that that you have every right to tell me no. You know what? I'm going back to Lake Ashtabula. You know, and by the way, I might have a breakfast if I assume. But would you, people are going to want to convey their thoughts to you and talk to you. Would you mind taking a phone call or two?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Let's do that. Let's open up the phone lines at 1-800-880-5346, or you can reach us by text at 35270. That's 35270. If you text the word Joel into the subject line, that will come directly to me. Why is SMCA wasting all this time on pot? How about meth? How about heroin? Pot is legal in two states, for crying out loud.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's one of the thoughts that is coming your way.
Thank you.
Is SMCA immune to bullying laws? This just doesn't seem fair. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I would agree with that as well. It's not fair.
How does a person shoot yourself in the head and get into the river after you're dead?
Exactly. That's my point. Okay. Exactly.
Another says, I live in Wahpeton and know the SMCA guys are buddy-buddy with all the campus cops. You know how people talk. I'm sure campus cops knew more. Your thoughts on that?
I don't believe they did. I don't.
Another one says this. It says, why would Andrew leave his dorm room at 2 a.m. With his backpack on? Tammy?
Well, we looked at the videos of everyone leaving, and it's a campus that never sleeps. The kids come and go all the time, and frankly, his roommates thought he was going out to get beer.
Okay.
Because that's how they smuggle beer in and out of their
dorm
room.
Everybody did.
Exactly.
I can tell
exactly.
You in Walsh Hall at UND, that's exactly how we brought beer into the dorm room. All right, we're going to take phone calls. Amy's going to get me some names here. 237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. But welcome back to News and Views. We're here with Tammy Sadek, and I knew her conversation was going to provoke responses, questions, everything that comes with it. I'm not trying to put you callers off. I promise we will get to you. In fact, we're going to, for you farmers out there, I'm sorry, check on your iPad real quick what the markets are, but we're going to go a different direction here because Tammy called for the Attorney General's office to investigate SMCA because the Attorney General's office is chief and law enforcement officer for the state of North Dakota. Don Haney from our news team just called the Attorney General's office. Don, who did you speak to?
We spoke with Liz Brocker. She is the primary spokesperson for the Attorney General's office. We explained the situation, not knowing if, in fact, they were aware of what Tammy Sadek had said here this morning or called for the investigation. Filled her in a nutshell, basically, about it, wanting to know whether or not they should investigate the operations of the multi-agency drug task force down there. And she said, we are not part and parcel of that. She said, we have no involvement with it. We don't have a state crime bureau agent assigned to that. And she said, so it's out of our hands. And I said, well.
Did she let you speak to the Attorney General?
No. And that generally doesn't happen. We have to leave messages. She's the handler out there, so to speak. That's just the way the process works. I said, well, given the fact that, this is the Attorney General's office, would there be some some effort on the part of the Attorney General, if somebody did call for him to investigate the operations of this group, wouldn't he be able to have some oversight into it? And she said, you'll have to contact Richland County. It's entirely a Richland County operation. And that's where we're at right now.
Are you comfortable with that answer, Tammy?
No, that's ridiculous. He's an elected official, and who's in charge of SMCA? Do they have no boss? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, and here's where I'm lost in all of this. What was BCI, the Bureau of Criminal Investigation, any part of this investigation?
Yes, they still have.
So they communicated with you?
No.
Okay.
It was all through Chief Helgerson. They have it, still have his laptop. They're supposed
BCI
to
be, does.
Absolutely, yeah. Uh-huh.
Which Wayne Stengem is the head of BCI.
Well, yeah.
Okay. So yeah. They're for Liz to say that there's no jurisdiction for the chief law enforcement officer of the state to investigate or review the actions taken by law.
I can't swear on the air, but I'd sure like to.
That's a real stretch.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a real stretch to say that, look, all of this is – because in the end, where do you go to make your case that your son, A, was bullied?
Right.
That B, there needs to be investigation of these practices. Are you going to go to the very people then that – you're going to go to SMCA and say, oh, by the way, I've got real issues with this. What answer are you going to get from them?
Yeah, they won't even talk to us. So, yeah, it's ridiculous.
I just think it's disingenuous that the attorney general would say we don't have any role in this.
Exactly. And he's an elected official. He's supposed to represent the people.
Okay. I want to get to the phone calls. Palmer, you are on with Tammy. Go ahead, Palmer.
Yes, sir. I have a quick question. This, as in so many other cases, the police are directly responsible for the problems. There's no question that if they had not been involved here, he just smoked a little marijuana, and this would have never happened. And I was wondering if Amy intends to pursue this and continue on and help bring to attention the abuses and the bullying and thuggery of local police departments, and they're rife.
Okay.
Life with it.
Thank you, Palmer. He's talking about you, Tammy. If you intend to continue to push this, or if your family will let this go.
No, we're not going to let it go. We want justice for Andrew. It's ridiculous. Somebody is accountable, and they need to step up and be accountable.
The state's a small place. I just received a text message from one of the local officials of the Wahpeton area saying this is happening all too often. SMCA is stringing these cases along with these defendants. And charges before charges are being filed. See, to me, as a parent, if those charges are filed, now I don't get blocked by the he's 18 rule.
Exactly.
Or he's 19 rule.
Exactly.
Now I get to get to know what's going on in my son's life, and I get a chance to sit him down and say, what decisions have you made, and let's review them.
Exactly. Exactly. And that was the whole purpose of signing this FERPA thing, because once they're 18, I pay for the college, but I have no access to his grades. That was the main reason we had him sign it, for so we would know his grades. Mm-hmm. And he was on the president's honor roll, mind you. And it says right in the FERPA law that if they're under 21 and they have any alcohol or drug violations, that is to be told to the parents.
And you never did get
nothing
to find out.
But
that's through the campus, and the campus is saying they never knew.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
Okay, let's get to another call. Leon, you are on with Tammy Sadek. Go ahead, Leon.
Good morning, all. And I would have to say also, we as the audience pass on our condolences to the family also. I have a question and maybe a comment. Apparently there was a 22 caliber whatever involved in this. Does the family own one of that? Is one of them missing? I don't know.
Well, and that was answered earlier. Thank you, Leon. You do own a 22 caliber.
We own several 22 calibers.
And one of them is missing.
One is missing. Yes, it is.
But your point is that doesn't prove that it was him.
Exactly.
It could have been taken from him, is your
exactly
concern.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay. Tammy, I'm going to ask you something, and it's completely up to you. There's a lot of people on hold and a lot of messages. If you want to stay longer, we'd love to have you, but it's totally up to you.
Sure, I'll stay longer.
Okay, Tammy Sadek, mother of Andrew Sadek. We'll take your phone calls if you're on hold. I would suggest to you, you don't give up your spot, and you'll get a chance to convey your wishes to Tammy right after this on News and Views. Tammy, you are an incredibly strong person and so brave. Thank you for telling your story so it can help someone else, and for taking a stand and asking for the truth from the agency that is the cause of all of this. Another one says whether he was shot or bullied to the point where he shot himself. Either way, this is murder. Another says easy way to get rid of bullying over drugs at all schools. If someone gets a drug charge at a school, regardless, expel them. Tammy, I want to go back to the issue of what involvement the Attorney General and BCI have in this. They're part of this investigation. If you want Andrew's cell phone, or you want his laptop. Who has them?
BCI has them. Yeah, and I've asked for that laptop several times. We've actually made special trips down there to Wahpeton, and it's in Fargo. That's what they tell us every time.
And so why do they tell you that they won't give you what now is your property?
They don't really tell us that they just keep saying, oh, it's in Fargo. It's you know, they're not investigating it as far as I know, but they just won't get it back to us. I said, I asked for his personal effects back on last Friday when I talked to Sergeant Helgerson, and he said, yeah, we'll get them to you probably mid-September or so. Well, they have had that computer since May 1st.
Okay, in Don Haney's call to the Attorney General's office, them saying, Liz Brocker saying that, I always stumble on that because she's got a nickname of Liz Blocker. I'm just going to be full disclosure. You never get access to the Attorney General. You don't. And so by her, you know, taking the hit saying, look, this is just strictly a Richland County issue. This has nothing to do with us. The Attorney General's office oversees BCI.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
And so for you to call for an investigation of SMCA and say the Attorney General, as chief law enforcement officer, needs to head this up, are you going to be comfortable enough with them saying, look, if you've got issues here, Tammy, you need to head to Richland County to deal with this?
It's ridiculous. What are they, their own little country down there that they don't have to follow the Attorney General's? Isn't in charge of them? Is no one in charge of them?
If you went to SMCA now and you said, look, I'm Tammy Sadek. I'm owed these answers. I want to talk to SMCA. Do you know who you'd talk to?
I have no idea.
No one has darkened your door. No one has come and knocked on your door and said, hi, I'm from SMCA. I am the representative from SMCA. We're the ones that were doing this investigation. I want to explain to you our role in all of this.
No one has done that. Absolutely not.
Okay. Let's get to the phone calls. Let's get to Scott. Scott, you were on News and Views.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. My heart goes out to the family. I can't imagine what it'd be like to lose a child. It's just unbearable. My question is I'm not trying to criticize the family or anything like that, but she keeps calling it bullying from the law enforcement, and to me it seems more like blackmail. Bullying is one form, but when you coerce a young child like that, I just wonder what her feelings are. To me, it seems like law enforcement use their power and authority over a child to just get their whims, and borderlines on blackmail. And I think blackmail is still illegal in this country, isn't it?
Okay. Thanks, Scott. Your thoughts on that?
Well, yes. Isn't blackmail part of bullying? I mean, yeah, isn't... When children are involved, they call it bullying. So I guess it's basically the same thing. I mean, it's no different than kids on the school ground blackmailing other kids, so to speak. It's all called bullying.
Okay. Let's get to an anonymous caller. You're on with Tammy Sadek.
Yeah. You know, I had to deal with a SMCA before, and they came into my house before, and... I seen the one put his hand in his pocket, put his hand underneath the couch cushion, pull it out, and there were a bunch of baggies in his hand. I seen it. My buddy that was there seen it. And I will give you his name. His name was Chris Carlsgaard, and he works for them. And now he's a Breckenridge PD officer. And what it is blackmail, is what it is. And whoever was working for him would call me at minimum 8 times a day, wanted me to meet up with him and do this and do that. And one time I come home from work and he was at my house waiting for me. So it is harassment and it is blackmail. It's what it is.
Were you ever charged with possession or selling?
Yeah, I was. You know, I was looking at 32 years in prison. $35,000 in restitution, and I was to the point that I just wanted to leave, you know, the earth, you know. I felt like a piece of scum, you know. It was totally uncalled for that. And, you know, I was 22 at the time, and when they tell you, oh, yeah, your max charges here are 32 years in prison, you know, for $300, you know, that goes through your mind. Like, wow, you know, I just want to, you know, shoot myself. Or
I have to ask you this. How did it all resolve itself?
I hired a lawyer, Stephen Lane out of Fargo there. He, well, made it to one court appearance, paid him $10,000. He shot himself in the Hillsboro truck stop. So I had to hire another lawyer for another $5,000, and I got a year of probation out of that.
So you got a year of probation, and you got your life back.
And I got my life back. And, you know, if it wasn't for my brother and my cousin, I probably wouldn't be talking to anybody right now. You know, it's just, they talked me through and told me it was going to be okay, you know. I didn't want my parents to find out. And yeah, it was a mess, you know, but it was a nice experience. But, you know, it is bullying is what it is. The blackmailing, you know, you do this for us, and we'll do this, you know, we'll drop this. You do this, we'll drop that.
So. I have to tell you, it took a lot of courage to make that call, to call in today. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate
you
it.
You bet. Yep.
Tammy, that's really what your message is today.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. They use these kids. And
so he got caught selling drugs. They told him he was going to be 30 years. I remember when the attorney out of Fargo here that took his own life up by Hillsboro. That was a whole nother kind of an aside issue. So he ended up having to get another attorney. But to him, it really was the dollars.
Right.
How much money? Because,
right.
You know, do you think Andrew could have came up with a $10,000 retainer had he not come into his parents and said, hey, guys, I got these charges pending against me?
Oh, I think he could have. He made really good money working as an electrician in the summers.
I don't think he'd be the norm, though. I think most most students are put in a box because they either have to tell their parents to get the money.
Right.
Or
right.
They have to face whatever the person's offering them.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Okay, mm-hmm. Let's take some more. Let's get to Ted. Ted, you're on with Tammy Sadek.
Hey, Joel.
Hello.
I used to own a bar in Lofton, and I know how Simca operates. They had a science school student. They had an agent that they put in science school as a student, and then they had him come and apply to me for a job at my bar. And then they, 6-7 months later, maybe even a year, they busted. Throughout Wofford and Breckenridge, they busted about 60-some people. And that's all they were. They get them to turn. Are you still there?
Yep, I got you, Ted.
Okay.
Were charges brought against you, Ted?
No, I didn't do nothing wrong.
Right. I mean, the point you're trying to get at is that was how they dealt with this individual with you.
Right, and then this guy that was he was actually an officer, but he was a student out at the college. They placed him out there, Simca did. And when he got done in Lofton, when he did all his dirty work in Lofton, where everybody knew who in the hell he was, they sent him out to Williston. And the reason I know this is because an attorney from Bismarck, North Dakota, called me and asked me if I was Ted Belmore that used to own Teddy's. And I go, yeah. He said, do you know this guy? I don't know if you want me to know the guy's name or not, but I said, yeah, I know him. He said, did he used to work for you? He was a real good bartender and a real good bouncer. He did his job good. I mean, and I said, yeah, he did. He said, well, he went to work out in Williston. This is 15, 16 years ago when he worked for me. And it was after that he went out there. And he did the same thing out there. And the guy lost his bar. The attorney owned a bar was part owner of the Broken Oar in Bismarck.
Okay.
And, he asked me if I would testify for him. And they went to the Supreme Court about putting somebody in, you know, infiltrating basically your business. a friend of mine was the president out of Woolrich, and Simca had come to them and asked if they could put an undercover agent in there. That was right after they had that big bust out in Gwinner. And he told them to go to you know where.
Yeah.
They're dirty. They're about as dirty. We fought two world wars over turning, being a, being snitches and, you know, they're just dirty.
Okay.
I can't say anything more about it.
I got you, Ted. Appreciate it. Tammy, a lot of people sharing your feelings on the lack of accountability when it comes to Simca.
Absolutely. And the communication is nil.
Okay. I tell you what, Tammy, I want to get this last call and then I'll let you go. Okay, let's get Natalie on with you. Natalie, you're on News and Views.
Good morning. First of all, I want to send my condolences to all of the families of Andrew. And we're pretty sure that there's a problem here. We know what the problem is. We've seen it. We've all heard about it now. So what can we do for the family to show our support as a community to move against this agency?
I have an idea, Natalie. Let me make a run at this. And yeah. Tammy, you just sit back and see if you agree or not with me. I think that the Attorney General of North Dakota is the chief law enforcement officer of the state of North Dakota. I think BCI is his branch of law enforcement. BCI is involved in this. I think that Simca actually falls on the scale of power, falls underneath the Attorney General. I think the Attorney General has the power, along with the governor, to make a recommendation to a governor to walk into any county and have a sheriff removed. And the sheriffs sit on the board of Simca. So for the Attorney General to say that they don't have a role in overseeing the actions that Simca took in this case is disingenuous. And I think it's irresponsible. I think that for the Sadik family, if for those of you listening on the News and Views radio network right now want the Sadik family to truly know what happened with Andrew, to be able to read the emails, to get the correspondence. This is not an ongoing investigation of Andrew Sadik. Andrew Sadik is dead. Andrew Sadik has been laid to rest. This is an ongoing investigation now of how this was all handled. And for this to be investigated, it needs to be checked out by someone who has power above Simca. And there's only one person in this state that has that type of an authority. I am not indicating on air today on statewide radio to you, Natalie, to you, Tammy, that this is the problem of that this was the cause of Wayne Stengem. That's not my point.
No, no.
That is not my point at all. I am not placing the blame at the foot of Wayne Stengem. That isn't my point.
No.
I would want to see what his report would say.
Exactly.
But I do think he has to deal himself a hand in this because he has the legal authority and the ability to do it. And to have his spokesperson speak to the news department and say, you know what? We don't have anything to do with it. This isn't ours. Talk to the people in Richland County is completely disingenuous. And if that's the case, then they shouldn't be collecting a check from the state of North Dakota anymore.
I agree totally.
Natalie,
awesome. Right.
Can you see that was building up in me for a while?
Yes, and I feel the same way. And we as a community need to stand behind this family and get our answers. That's
Thank
our right
so
as Americans.
Natalie.
I think you as a community need to send a letter to Wayne Stengem.
Absolutely.
I think that's where this all begins. And once he gets enough public outcry, then something happens. Tammy, I am so sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
I hope you stay in touch.
We will.
As more
Absolutely.
Information comes and mm-hmm. know that you have a vehicle here to make sure that the Sadik family can get their word out anytime they want.
Thank you so very much,
yeah,
Joel.
Absolutely.